Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast here today. I was reading an article here just recently. The headline caught my attention. It said this. It said, recycling may ease your conscience, but for workers, it's dirty, dangerous, and even deadly. So the article goes on then to talk about the recycling industry and how many people are involved in it and what actually takes place at the landfills and so forth. But the headline there is what caught my attention, with the idea of that people have a consciousness about that they should recycle or feel an ought to recycle. So they go ahead and do this, and this, according to this article, the behind the scenes of what's taking place may not be so pleasing to their conscience if they found out the reality of some of the things that were taking place. Now, that subject of conscience is what I want to zero in on the program today. Not that long ago, I preached through the book of Hebrews, and in Hebrews chapter 13, and in verse 18, it says this. It says, pray for us, the apostle speaking and closing out the book, pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. So the apostle mentions this idea of conscience in that passage, and so we see that this is a biblical topic as well. And there's a brand new book that has just been released on this subject, and that book is entitled Conscience: What It Is, How to Train It, and Loving Those Who Differ. It's a book that is co-authored by Andy Nasselli and also by J.D. Crowley. And J.D. joins us now to talk about it. J.D. he's been doing ministry in linguistic work among the indigenous minorities of Northeast Cambodia since 1994. He's also written a number of other books as well, too, including a commentary on Romans for Cambodia and Asia, and also a dictionary as well. J.D., it's a pleasure to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio program.
It's good to be here, Kevin. Thanks.
Well, J.D., let's start with led you to write a book dealing with the subject of conscience. We don't normally hear many sermons on this subject. It doesn't get a whole lot of air time, even in the Christian community. So what caused you to work along with Andy on putting together a book about this particular subject?
Both Andy and I started becoming interested in the subject of conscience right around the same time, but independently of each other. For me, I was noticing that as I would move back and forth between Cambodia and the furloughs in America, that there would be certain things that I found myself unable to do. In the book, I talk about not being able to step over someone's legs in America, because in Cambodia, to step over someone's legs is about the worst thing you can do to them. And I began to wonder how had that wormed its way into my conscience? I began to wonder how conscience worked and what the Bible said about it. And then I began to see the nexus of conscience and missions, and that really got me excited. For Andy, it was his moving from a very strict situation, a subculture there in your area, mm-hmm. to a different subculture up north, and he began to wonder how conscience works and what was going on in his own conscience. Mm. And then, as you said, we realized that conscience is barely on the radar of most Christians these days, and yet here's Paul, as you mentioned, whoever wrote Hebrews, but also Paul in the book of Acts, mentioning a clean conscience. You hardly ever hear anybody talking about a clean conscience in their testimonies these days.
Mm-hmm. And yet it's used that way in the New Testament scriptures very clearly, as we pointed out from those passages. Let's start with a working definition. When we talk about conscience, you start this way in the book with the chapter entitled, What is Conscience? So why don't we start right there?
Sure, yeah. Conscience is, as far as definition of conscience, we wait until chapter 2 when we do some exegesis of the 30 or so times the word is used in the New Testament, and come to the conclusion that conscience is, as you said earlier, a Christian someone's consciousness of what's right or wrong in his own heart. And but conscience itself is obviously an aspect of the fact that we're made in God's image. God's a moral God, and so it makes sense that that the creatures that he makes in his image also have a moral sense. And when that moral sense is turned back on ourselves, there you have conscience.
Mm.
So it's a priceless gift from God. It's a gift that that Andy and I think is being neglected in the lives of most Christians.
Mm. When we talk about it in light of Christianity, then, would it be a safe working definition to say that it is a faculty of the soul discerning between right and wrong based upon the law of God that's written in our heart? Would that work as a definition to work with?
That's a great definition, with the exception that it isn't always based on the law of God, and that brings up the truth that our conscience is a mixture of rules, laws, taboos that do come from God, but also many that come from our culture that probably should not be there, or at least it's unnecessary for those rules to be in our conscience.
Mm. So it's tied, obviously, to the subject of knowledge. In fact, I think the basic construction of the word would be with knowledge, conscience, with knowledge. So it depends upon what knowledge we're relying upon in order to make those discerning decisions between right and wrong. Is that correct?
That's exactly right, and that's why God has given us the ability to calibrate our conscience. So one of the most important parts of our book is the section on how to calibrate one's conscience.
Mm-hmm.
We know from Peter and his the vision that he received on the rooftop there in Joppa that he had to calibrate his conscience rather quickly in order to receive be ready to receive the Gentiles who were on their way to his house there, so that that he could be a part of the Gentile inclusion. Had he not adjusted his conscience, he would have been sinning against God in that situation. So the fact that conscience can be calibrated to match God's will better reminds us that conscience is based on our knowledge of what's right and wrong. That knowledge can change. It can change for the worse. It can change for the better. It can match God's will less. It can match God's will better. And so we want to encourage people to understand the concept of calibration of conscience.
Amen. That's an excellent way that you've worded it in the book, and I think an excellent place to focus on in the adjusting the conscience so it comes into line with the revealed will of God in His Word, of course. But so you start there by focusing upon God and the way that our conscience interacts with God and the things of God. But then you move, like in verse 5 or chapter 5 or so, it says, how should you relate to your fellow Christians when your conscience disagrees? This is kind of a little bit more rubber meets the road. This is, how do we interact? In fact, in the opening part on Crossway's website about your book, it says this in the opening line. It says, what do you do when disagreements arise in the church? How do you determine which convictions are negotiable and which are not? How do you get along with people who have different personal standards? All of these questions have to do with the conscience, and then it goes on from there. And by the way, since I'm there on that site, let me remind our listening audience that we're speaking with J.D. Crowley about the book that he has co-authored along with Andy Nocelli. And the book is entitled Conscience, What It Is, How to Train It, and Loving Those Who Differ. And it is published by Crossway. You can go out to Crossway's website at www.crossway.org. And there you can find out how you can get a copy of this book. So, J.D., relating in our conscience to others, speak a little bit about that subject.
Well, Kevin, you're a pastor of a church, and I was a pastor for 12 years in Hawaii, where I grew up as well. And you know that a large percentage of problems in church comes from conscience clashes. A couple of really important principles that should cause us to be humble about these things is that conscience is meant for you. MYOC is one of the principles we talk about. Mind your own conscience. Your conscience is for you. It's not for someone else. They already have their own conscience. Mm. But maybe even more humbling is the fact that there's not a single human being on earth who has a conscience that matches completely, perfectly with God's will. There are things there that ought not be there. There are things that ought to be there and that aren't. Mm-hmm. And this should humble us, and that truth should sink deep into our hearts and make us humble in our whenever our conscience standards clash with the conscience standards of somebody else.
Mm. So we shouldn't go around and open a Christian business where we advertise that we'll do free conscience adjustments and we'll adjust your conscience for you. We shouldn't launch some sort of a Christian. Go ahead.
Sort of a conscience chiropractor. We'll adjust your conscience
exactly.
for you.
Exactly. So there's a lot of that taking place, but you're saying that this is malpractice in many cases. I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, the one of the important principles here is how do you know the difference between calibrating your conscience and sinning against it? Because mm-hmm. in both situations, you're basically telling your conscience to be quiet.
Yes.
And this is important because the second most important principle concerning conscience is just listen to it. Do what it says. You cannot be blessed, and we stress this strongly in our book, you can't be blessed if you live a life in which you consistently sin against your conscience. And yet, the main principle of conscience is God is the Lord of your conscience. And as we saw in the situation with Peter, and also think about Paul and how overpacked his conscience was the day he got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Not too many years later, he was able to say, I'm free of all these things, and yet I have made myself a servant in order to win as many as I can. So calibrating one's conscience under the work of God's Spirit in you through the Scriptures is a very important thing. But how do you know the difference between that and sinning against your conscience, which mm-hmm. is something you're not supposed to do? But it's pretty. It's not that complicated. You're sinning against your conscience when you believe your conscience is warning you correctly and you tell it to shut up.
Mm.
But you're calibrating your conscience when Christ, who is the Lord of your conscience, teaches you through the Scriptures and under the direction also of the authorities in your life, teaches you that that you've been incorrect or your conscience has been warning you incorrectly about a particular matter. So you decide to no longer listen to your conscience in that one matter, just as Peter did when he receive those Gentiles into his house. I'm sure his conscience was going ballistic, but he had already determined that he was going to obey the Lord of his conscience rather than the warnings of conscience in that particular situation.
Hmm.
And I'm sure he's glad he did.
So the conscience can be suppressed, and I think we read also about the conscience being seared as well. What does that mean about it being seared?
Yeah, you can break your conscience in two ways. One, and what's ironic is that they're opposites. You can destroy your conscience, make it completely unworking by making it insensitive. That's the searing of the conscience, where you continue to tell your, when you think your conscience is warning you correctly about something, but you continually tell it to be quiet, and that voice gets softer and softer. But as I said, ironically, you can hurt your conscience in another way, and that's by making it oversensitive. You overpack it with things that don't really need to be there, rules and regulations that God doesn't really care about, and you can hurt your conscience that way as well. And what's interesting is that sometimes those two ways of destroying your conscience can occur in the same person. In 1 Timothy, Paul talks about people who have destroyed their own conscience through searing it, but at the same time have all these rules about not being able to get married and not being able to eat certain foods. So they've destroyed their conscience by both means, making it insensitive and oversensitive.
We see sometimes in the news, you know, one of these people will commit just a horrific crime, and some people will say that person, he doesn't have any conscience whatsoever. You know, he doesn't seem to have. Does such a being exist, or is this a being who is just, as we're talking about here, has seared his conscience or suppressed it to the point where it's almost non-detectable, especially from others?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's what it is, that that the person's conscience has been broken so much because of not listening to it, that it seems as though that person is consciousless, completely remorseless. And that's a dangerous thing. As we said, if you get into the habit of not listening to your conscience, not doing what it says, you're on the road to destruction. You're on the road to, as the Bible says, shipwreck. And so we strongly stress the importance of listening to your conscience, even though we acknowledge readily that your conscience is not doesn't match God's will 100%. It's not a completely perfect instrument at this point in our existence. No one has ever had a conscience like that except the Lord Jesus Christ, whose conscience was perfectly matched with God, and he always obeyed his conscience.
There was we hear talk at various times of people talking about the national consciousness. And there was a certain, we say this often, there was a certain ought-to-ness to people years ago. And a lot of that seems to be eroding today. Is that more of a the cultural influence upon the conscience when we use that type of terminology?
Well, that's a good point, because everyone is born with a conscience, even though it's imperfect because of the fall. And we add standards to our conscience and take them away from our conscience, often depending on the culture that we grow up in, whether it's the family culture of our parents. We get a lot of things put into our conscience from that. School, our greater culture. Sometimes we will join a church and things will be added to our culture, some of which probably don't need to be there. I'm sorry, some things are added to our conscience, some of things of which probably don't need to be there. So you're right that culture can shape our conscience, and that is a form, in this case that you were talking about, where the ought to isn't there anymore. That's a form of making our conscience insensitive by listening to culture rather than listening to the ought to of the conscience.
How do you go about, like, in a counseling session then, if you're dealing with, let's say, a young man, and you sense that, you know, he has really dulled his conscience, and he's how would you go about then trying to help him to rebuild the sense of his conscience and listening to that conscience again?
Well, it's probably the basic kind of counseling that you do all the time in your church as well, where you get the Word of God, and here's a Christian, someone who's who's come to know the Lord. He or she has the Holy Spirit living inside of him, and so you know, their conscience ought to be supercharged now.
Mm-hmm.
God has written his laws on their heart. So you have a lot of allies. You have, but you're asking what to do if this person is perhaps a new Christian and has already hurt his conscience in many ways. But praise God, the conscience can be calibrated positively and rebuilt and made sensitive again through the work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Word, through the good cultural influence of the church. All these things can heal somebody's conscience and make it work again. It's an amazing miracle. And then you mentioned Hebrews. When someone becomes a Christian, they experience something that can be experienced in no other religion that I know of. Well, there is no other religion that promises this, that Christianity promises to fix us at the very deepest level of our being, and that is conscience. Hebrews makes that very clear. Substitutionary atonement is the only ultimate solution to the problem of conscience in our lives.
Amen.
And God was very kind to choose a method of atonement, if there was a choice. I don't know if there were other ways to save us, but he chose a method of atonement that dealt with the very deepest issues of our conscience, and that's the first step. And then from there, the healing of the conscience, if it has been abused and neglected over the years.
Amen. One final question, and we just have a couple minutes left in the broadcast, but we started off by talking about the instance of you stepping over someone's legs, which was taboo in the cultures that you were familiar with. But here in the United States, the same taboo doesn't exist. How does this then relate? I guess it would be very acute to you in your work with other cultures around the world. But this, you really have to take this message about conscience to heart, I would imagine, because there's going to be many, many, many situations like that you have to make this decision. Is this just part of your conscience that you're imposing upon other groups, or is this something that is actually a doctrine that needs to be emphasized from the Word of God?
That's right. If conscience issues are so complicated within one's own church or culture, you can imagine how complicated things get when you cross cultures. And so chapter 5 of our book deals with this, and obviously I'm excited about chapter 5. We've gotten some feedback from missionaries who said that this chapter has been very, very helpful to them. All cultures have rules of right and wrong, but sometimes the difference is in the details. And so the wise missionary will, first of all, try to calibrate his or her own conscience before going out to the field, so that you don't just export merely cultural Christianity or American Christianity to them.
Mm-hmm.
But we should also be students of the conscience standards of the people to whom we minister. Because there are things in their conscience that we ought to have in ours. For example, don't be stingy with food. I mean, that's not even on our conscience radar in America, don't be stingy with food. But that's huge in the majority world context.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to become students of the other culture and find out what's really important to them as well, so that we won't be seen as actually big sinners in the context of their culture because, say, we're stingy with our food. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I could see how that would play out in that particular context. Well, JD, thank you so much for talking about this. I'm reminded of the thought of Richard Sibbes. In fact, I just brought it up here. He said this, that a good conscience is a continual feast, because knowing that God is pleased with us, has forgiven us of our sins, and delights in our obedience, enables us to suffer and to even die with comfort and freedom and joy. That's powerful. And good conscience before God.
That sums it up, yeah.
It does, as only the Puritan writers could do. Well, J.D., thank you so much for writing on this subject. I pray that it will be mightily used of God. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule, sir, to join us on the program today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Kevin. God bless you.
You too. The book is called Conscience, So What It Is, How to Train It, and Loving Those Who Differ. It's co-authored by Andrew David Nicelli and also J.D. Crowley. J.D. was our guest here today talking about this book. It's published by Crossway. You can go out to Crossway's website, www.crossway.org, and find out how you can get a copy of it out there. I think it's so much needed in our society today, in our churches today, because as we talked about at the very beginning of the interview, it doesn't get much airtime. It's such a vital, intricate part of the Christian life, and yet it's been almost completely ignored. Let me say this, the Lord Jesus Christ said, He said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll see you next time.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.